we sang this morning, that wonderful hymn with that wonderful verse, "But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey." And we have been thinking a little bit about the theme of consecration. And tonight, just in this short little set of three sermons on the subject, I want us to continue to think about it. I do plan, as you will, if you have been reading the bulletin, and I'm sure you are by now, and the prayer points, I plan at the beginning of February, in the mornings, to start a series from the book of Malachi, and in the evenings to try and complete, mostly, the series that we started some time ago from 1 Corinthians, to think particularly of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and there's a lot in that, so I would appreciate your prayers as I prepare for that. I deliberately this evening want to, as it were, say at the beginning, I mentioned this man this morning, A.W. Tozer. Some of you will have read some of Tozer's work, and I do encourage you to read Christian literature. I encourage you to read Tozer. Just one other little thing that he once said, which I can't resist sharing with you. It's not on the screen, but he once said, "It is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God." Now, that is a pithy comment. It is a pithy comment. I repeat it. It is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God. That's worth pondering. That's worth thinking about. We can flit here and everywhere and go after this, that, and the other thing, and yet God can be lost in the midst of it. We seek God. We need God. And I deliberately share with you what I shared already this morning, the lovely story of how Tozer heard another man called Reuben Torrey, Dr. R.A. Torrey, and just before Dr. Torrey died, just a very short time before he died, he preached a sermon on the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned this morning, I deliberately repeat it, Tozer said that Dr. Torrey was really very weak. In fact, the word that he used was that he was feeble, very physically weak. And his voice was really quite shaky. And yet Tozer said it was one of the greatest sermons that he ever heard, because God was in it. That's what makes a good sermon. That's what makes a good service. When God is there, when God is in the midst, it's not something you can conjure up. And one thing that Torrey said that struck Tozer was this: we do not need to worry about getting more of the Holy Spirit, but see to it that he gets more of us. We can have all of him if he can get all of us. And folks, this evening, I could do an awful lot worse than ask you the question, has God got all of you? And sit down again. Has God got all of you? Has the Spirit of the living God got all of you? Or are you holding out and saying, Lord Jesus, I'll give you this part of my life, but no, you're not going there. It happens all the time. And so the theme of consecration is so vitally important. And what I want to do this evening, because I think we've covered adequately at this point anyway, the fact that Paul, having expounded the gospel in Romans 1-11, and by God's grace, sometime I'll get to preach that. But he has been expounding the gospel in these first 11 chapters. And then he's basically saying, in light of this, brothers and sisters, I want you to offer your bodies, offer everything that you have to the Lord. Put it on the altar. Lay it on the line before God. Ask him to take you and to use you. And I suppose really what we have in these early verses, and indeed what you have in front of you there in those few words, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the response, lay your life on the altar before the Lord, and then the changed lives. And that's really what I want to do this evening, just for a little time. And basically, I want to just demonstrate from this chapter, Romans chapter 12, that basically what Paul is calling for is that in light of the grace of God, so in light of the grace of God in your life, in light of the grace of God and what Jesus has done, you are called to make a response, to say, Lord, I want to live for you. If you really do that, it will change your life. And it will change your life in lots of different ways. Our relationships will be changed. Let me just show you, and yeah, I put that in. You remember our exposition of James a few years ago, if you want the world to heed, put your creed into your deed. That's at the heart of what we're thinking about tonight. If you want other people to take Christianity seriously, then put what you claim to be into practice. We live in an age which is very cynical, very skeptical. You don't have to go very far, even in the kingdom of Mourn, to find people who are cynical about the gospel. I meet them all the time. It's really cynical. This society is full of cynics. And we need to be aware of that. Really cynical about religion as they see it. But the thing that will burst that bubble is as they see genuine Christian people at school, at work, in the agricultural world, in the fishing world, in the world of business, as they see Christians who are real, who actually really do believe what they proclaim on a Sunday. It's not just a Sunday thing. But enough about that. This evening, basically, consecration changes our relationship to God, to ourselves, to other Christians, and to non-Christians. That's what I want to just, in the time that I have, think about a little bit this evening. Consecration changes our lives. It changes our relationships. First of all, it changes our relationship to God. And that's really what Paul is speaking about at the beginning of this chapter, Romans chapter 12, where the call goes out, the call of the gospel, to repent and believe, to lay your life on the line before Jesus, and to offer everything to the Lord, and to commit yourself to him fully and wholly. I've preached about that in the last couple of sermons, so I'm deliberately not going to say much more about it. But consecration changes your relationship with God. But it also changes your relationship to yourself. You may be surprised at that. But let me draw your attention to what Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. He says this. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you." Isn't that interesting? That having given out this majestic call to consecrate yourself to God, to Christ, Paul then goes on to say to the believers, don't be thinking of yourself too highly. Don't allow yourself to be overtaken with pride. Indeed, he mentions that later on down in the same section, not to be proud. We can all struggle. We may not admit it. The problem of pride. Those who are tempted to have too high an opinion of themselves. Have you too high an opinion of yourself? Are you a proud person? Well, hear the apostolic call that if you consecrate yourself to God, it will actually affect how you think about yourself. It will put a wee bit of humility into your heart. But there's an opposite problem, isn't there, sometimes? There are those who struggle with having too high an opinion of themselves. But there are those who struggle with having a very low opinion of themselves. The kind of view which sometimes I do meet. I'm useless. What could I ever do? I'm almost not quite a nobody, but verging on it. Who am I to do that? And it may come from all sorts of different reasons, a very low self-esteem. And I suppose really what I want you to notice here is what Paul goes on to do. If you like, in these verses, he's saying to us, on the one hand, don't have too big an opinion of yourself. But on the other hand, don't have such a low opinion of yourself that you feel that you're of no use in the service of God. Because the truth of the matter, says Paul, is that if you are a Christian, you have been given a gift. And it's interesting that in this section, and you can see it there, verse 4 and following, Paul goes on to speak. Let me quote you what it says. Verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that each Christian has been given a gift. Remember tonight, if you're a Christian, you have been given a gift, a talent, that God calls you to use. So whilst you must not have too big an opinion of yourself, do not have too low an opinion of yourself, because God calls you to serve him. So what I'm simply saying is this, that when we give ourselves to the Lord, when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, it not only affects our relationship with God, but our relationship even to ourselves. Can you see that? Now tonight I'm not actually going into the detail of some of the different gifts that are mentioned here. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. And there will be people here with those gifts. The point that I'm simply making is this, that as we consecrate and as you give yourself to the Lord wholly and completely, it not only affects your relationship with the Lord, but how you view yourself. Let me ask you tonight, are you using the gifts that God has given you? You say to me, I don't even know what gift God has given me. Well, I say to you, have you ever asked him to show you? You say to me, no, I haven't. And I say to you, well, it's time you did. Our relationship to ourselves. But also, this consecration affects our relationship to fellow believers around us. Now, already I've mentioned the fact, and you can see it in the text here, that Paul is speaking here about the church. Again, look at verse 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. He's talking about the church of Jesus Christ. So he is talking about how we relate not only to ourselves, but to other Christians. How do we relate to each other? If we are Christians here this evening, in some ways, so much of this can be summed up in what Paul says there in verse 9 and in verse 10. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Paul mentions a whole lot of things here, actually, in these verses from verse 9 right through. He mentions a whole pile of things. Very, very practical things. About honoring one another. About being patient. About being joyful. About being faithful in prayer. About sharing with God's people, with those who are in need, about practicing hospitality, and so on and so forth. But at the heart of what he is saying here is the call to love one another. I was reading recently about a person who was not a Christian. He lived a very long time ago. His name was Lucian. He was a Greek, and he actually lived just about 100 years after the time of Jesus, believe it or not. And he said an amazing thing about the Christians in his day and age. I don't have it on the screen. Let me read it to you. He said this. He said, it is incredible to see the fervor with which the people of that religion, Christianity, help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first legislator, now that was his way of describing Jesus, has put it into their hearts that they are brothers and sisters. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? That just a short time after the life of Jesus, here is this man, Lucian, who observed these Christians. And he says, it's incredible to see the fervor with which they help one another. Their love. And that, of course, has been documented as one of the things that really touched an unbelieving world. That the Christians loved each other. That they genuinely cared for each other. Let me ask you tonight. Part of me is tempted, but I'll not do it. To say to you, to look around and to see those who are sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you. To see fellow people who profess to be Christians, to ask yourself, Do I love these people? Do I care for these people? And without becoming sentimental about the whole thing, that is what we do need to ask ourselves. It is so easy for us to come into a service and to do what we do and then to go out and actually not really to engage with each other. Never mind genuinely say, you know, I am to care for that person. I am to love that person. Not in an intrusive, inappropriate way, but in a way that people who aren't Christians can actually say, you know, they actually do care for each other. There is something real there. We're not always the best at that. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about us here tonight. I think within our church communities, it's not one of our stronger points. Do we really care for our fellow believers? Sometimes we can be all wrapped up in ourselves. And even the way that church tends to be in Northern Ireland, sometimes I think we are just wrapped up in our own little groups. And we sometimes seldom even think much about the fellow believers down the road, in the church there, or in the hall there, or in the assembly here. I'm not saying that we can be running here, there, and everywhere. We can't possibly do that. But all I'm saying is that maybe at times we can go out of our way to say, you know, brother, sister, I was thinking about you. We were praying for you. It is so vital, isn't it? It is so vital. You see, when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, it not only changes our relationships to God, to ourselves, but to each other. When was the last time you really thought about a fellow believer? Never mind prayed for them. Within this congregation, never mind the one down the road. And then Paul goes on, and time has gone on and almost beating me here, to say that if you consecrate yourself to Christ, it will not only affect your relationship with yourself and with other believers, but even with those who are not believers. And it's striking here in these verses towards the end. For example, verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Or verse 17, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, but leave it to the Lord. And then verse 20, extraordinary words. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. What do you do when somebody is not nice to you? What do you do when somebody calls you names? What do you think of someone who is meant to be your enemy? Do we hate them back? Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We are called to be different. And how difficult this is, yes. But it's only when we consecrate ourselves that we can ever do this. Otherwise, it's all pie in the sky. For me to stand here and preach a kind of a message and say, look, in your own strength, try and be nice to those who maybe aren't nice to you. Or try and think kindly and pray for those who are your enemies. It would be pie in the sky. You would say, that boy's in cloud cuckoo land. It's not really possible. But it is possible by the grace of God. It is possible when we lay ourselves on the line before the Lord. Because what God does is he begins to come and begins to change us. And to say, you know, I could think many's a thing about that boy, but you know, I'm going to pray for him. Because the Lord calls me to love your enemies and even pray for those who persecute you. And so on and so forth. The point is made, isn't it? What a difference it would make in all of our communities if churches and Christians were transformed in this way. It would make a remarkable difference. Let me finish with this. It's a little booklet. Time has gone, but allow me to read something produced by Evangelical Alliance. Evangelical Alliance is a very good Christian organization. And it's a little book called The Relationships Revolution. And it's basically saying that relationships are so important within our homes, within our communities. And it's written in the context of Northern Ireland. Let me read you this paragraph and then I'll finish. It's a little section entitled Relational Poverty. We are all suffering from a poverty of trust, failing to understand our identity as divine image bearers and relational beings. At the core of issues like pornography addiction, prostitution, casual sex, conflict, and marital breakdown is relational poverty. We need to invest time, energy, and money into building strong relational capital in Northern Ireland. The concept of relational or social capital can be seen clearly in two examples: gangs and churches. Gangs have high levels of bonding. They build strong ties between members, and we can see this in certain sections of our society. More important, though, is bridging social capital, the ability to build strong ties across different ages, different races, different classes. Churches are particularly strong here and act as a model for further relational transformation. We need a radical reprioritization of relationships in Northern Ireland. In other words, to put it very simply, we need to care for those around us, even people who are different from us, different classes, different races, different religion. We need to build relationships. And how will we ever do that? Only as we come to the cross of Christ and as we consecrate ourselves afresh to the Lord Jesus, that he would fill us with his Spirit and with his grace, and then we will be enabled to go out and to do what we are called to do. And I finish with these words that I started the sermon this morning with, the words of the late Reverend James S. Stewart, famous preacher from Edinburgh, who once said this: if only we would take Christ at his word, if only the Church of Jesus Christ, if each one of us would allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in us. Yes, we know the difficulties. We know the problems. But I also know, said Stewart, that in the last resort, it is as simple as this: will we take Jesus at his word? Will you? Will I? An awful lot will depend on our answer to that. Let's pray.